हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so page 28. And this is from?
I think it's from Madhavani.
Oh, okay. Lord Krishna said, "Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you? That you have come here to see me is most appropriate." So Krishna always likes to open with all this formalness. It's always so much more fun. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, Sri Krishna speaks in the plural, not using normal speech, in order to cover up his embarrassment about their attraction to him, or to show indifference. Though he knew they came to be his servants, which is clear later, he covers this, being embarrassed in public by the brahmana's wife's intense love. Like, because in public means in front of all the cowherd boys. Right? And it is outside, because the other, when the gopis meet him, they don't meet him in public. It's always a private aspect. Thus he simply says, "You desired to see us. It is proper that you have come because I have a desire to see you. Other desires are excluded since they were Brahmin women. Or it is proper that you came with a desire to see me, giving up everything for me." Lord Krishna continued, "Certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, for I am most dear to the soul." Footnote 18. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 26 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So this full surrender, uninterrupted, unmotivated. Right? So there's never a time when it's not there. Right, so that's how you tell the earlier stages of devotional service, is that sometimes it'll be there, sometimes not. You know, or let's say the morning program, so it's there, the rest of the day not. Or, you know, for a few moments here and there in the morning program, and sometimes not. Or, you know, like this. It's just however it works out. So uninterrupted means it's just continually, 24/7. There's no breakage in their devotion to Krishna, because Krishna, his remembrance of the living entities and his devotion is always there, because there is no ignorance. So what's to stop you from being absorbed? And unmotivated means there's nothing to gain other than Krishna's pleasure. So that's the actual thing, because what does Krishna have to gain? Right? It means, what do we want to gain? We want to gain either karma or jnana, right? There's not a third option.
Both?
Huh?
Both.
Yeah, but it's, you know, yes, but it's just the... Yes. But the... let's revisit this one. Okay, so you're saying if one got liberation merged into Mahakalapura, into the Brahman and white, you want a full set of nice white you know, furniture and everything. Yes, okay. Okay. Then in that case, then we'll buy Bo. Yes. So all, whatever there is in the creation, then actually, where is it from? From Krishna. So it's non-different from Krishna. So is there anything he requires? No. Is Krishna ever entangled? He's transcendental. He is transcendence. In other words, existence is him. So what's the gain in karma and jnana from him? So there's never any motive in his endeavor. Right? So that's why his interaction with the living entities is unmotivated and uninterrupted. So then if we want to interact with him on that same level, then we have to have the same thing. So it can be done. You can say, oh, we can't do that. Yes, we can. The drop of ocean water has all the qualities of the ocean. It's just small, that's all. Does that make sense? So this ability to work on the platform of pure devotion is not a problem, and in Braj, then pure unalloyed devotion. So there's no interest in anything else. It can be done. And in that, then Krishna reciprocates, makes all the wonderful arrangements for everybody. So, yes. Yeah, so here, certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest. They understand that karma and jnana isn't their interest. So they render unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, right? Not indirectly through so many things. Even their indirect is direct because they're only doing it to please Krishna. Yes?
Satyavrata Muni, in his Dhammadharasaka prayers, he explains three levels of unmotivated devotional service. First he says, I don't want Sayuja Mukti. Then he says, I don't want four kinds of mukti, which are, you know, Vaishnavas, some of the Vaishnavas accept. And then he said, I don't want to gain anything from the nine processes of bhakti. So I'm not sure what is there to gain from the nine processes of bhakti. Yes.
Anything that there is to gain.
You know, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarana.
Any one of them can give you more than anything that is recommended in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. That's why it's an offense to think they're equal. Devotional service is so far beyond Karmakanda. It's just like this. What yajna, having been done one time, can give you the opulence of Indra?
Chanting Hare Krishna.
Ashwamedha.
You have to do 100 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Slight detail.
I think one would be a problem.
Yeah.
In Rajasthaya, how many?
That'll get you the heavenly planets, won't get you for Indra.
Sankirtanikya?
But Sudama Vipra, he gave a handful of chipped rice. So that can either mean chira, sometimes they call that chipped rice, because if you look at it, it's been squashed and it has all these edges like it's been chipped seriously. Or it can mean what they call in Bengal kud, which means broken rice. Like that. But generally, that I don't think that's the case. I would think the chipra, the chira would be the more appropriate. So simply just giving that, and Krishna just took a few morsels, and then Rukmini stopped him and said, as it is, we can't pay him off. If you do any more, it's like, you know, we're going to be embarrassed here. Does that make sense? So the nine processes can give you anything that you want within the material world. But you'll still be in the material world. While the devotees, then they're only interested in pleasing Krishna, because developing love for Krishna, that's what it says. Certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest, then they only render devotional service as pure devotional service. Now, some may offer it as mixed to get, like we see Daksha. in the Hamsaguya prayers. He's worshiping Vishnu, but to get what he needs to do as his position as a Prajapati. So that's the thing, is even you do devotional service, it will get you anything that there is, if you're just looking at it from the material side. Right? But the devotees aren't that foolish, so they may have material interest, but it's not their goal. It just happens to be left over. It's just like you move into the house and there's already some previous residents there that you have to put up with. You know, it comes as part of the contract or something. You know? They live in the basement, you know, like that. Now and again come up and raid your refrigerator. Yeah, like that, you know. Use all the soap in your bathroom, you know, stuff like that. Your perfume, squeeze your toothpaste in the middle, you know, do all the whole thing.
Leave the gorilla hairs in the drain.
Yeah, you know, like that. And so therefore, the intelligent devotees, then they nail up the doors to the basement and don't worry about these things anymore. So does that make sense? So in other words, only through devotion can karma and jnana work, but pure devotion gives you bhakti. Does that make sense? Like Namabhas will give you liberation, right? So that's beyond what you can get from karma. That's Namabhas. It can't give you prema. It'll give you Namabhas. Shuddhanam, that you can get prema. So that's why for the devotees, then these things of karma and jnana actually aren't very major, because even Namabhas gives those things. Does that make sense?
Because we say like that, and we hear like that, you know, most of the time. But if practically we see...
That's because you want pure devotional service, so therefore materially things don't go as well as you'd like. That way you lose interest in them. You have a material desire. You get that material... You work hard. You get that material desire fulfilled. Then things don't work out so great how you thought that they would from attaining that material desire, so you get frustrated. And so what will be the result of being frustrated having fulfilled your desire?
Desire something else.
Hmm?
Desire something else.
Okay, and then when that gets frustrated... See, the idea is that one starts to see with time.
There's a pattern.
There's a pattern. And so then one starts to see as material desires actually can't make you happy. They actually don't offer anything. It means nothing. We've decided it's something.
But will they actually be saved one day?
Yeah.
Hope against hope.
Yes, but you have to keep that as, you have to have that as your ultimate goal. So the more you focus on that, the quicker it comes. The less you focus on it, it will come, but a little slower. But yes. But it's not from the platform of liberation, because it's not that I'm not disturbed by material desires like that, because that's what liberation is. Like, so much of the time, my heart will be purified and I won't be affected by all this material distractions and all that. That's liberation. So it's when will, you know, it's like Lord Chaitanya, when will tears of love decorate, you know, my eyes? When will, you know, I feel that separation? When will it just be about Krishna? So for that to happen, can you do that with the heart is impure? No. So that means it's already accomplished by the devotion. That's what I'm meaning. Devotional service already accomplishes those things. That's the whole point. So it's not that we're not careful about anarthas, but it's we don't focus on the anarthas. I remember hearing, I think, Govinda Marsh, Shivaram Marsh talk about this really strong back in the 90s. And I was thinking, no, but unless you purify your heart, how can you function on pure devotion? Because they were saying, no, it's about pure devotion. I didn't understand that. And it's just as we're going through here, then we get into the ninth, tenth, then you know, from seventh can, then you start to see, that's what they were talking about. You know, so whatever it is, it's a 20-year lag, but, you know, at least now it's starting to become, okay, now I understand what they were talking about. Now it's just a matter of now applying it, you know, give us another 20 years. you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that it works. If you just keep at it, keep proper association, hear about these things, right? Because what's happening is, basically, the inspiration for devotional service, I think there's I think this, it's six or seven kinds of aspects. One of those is called Sarup, means it's just natural. It means the living entity just hears about Krishna, develops that attraction, and then develops prema. So that you would say would be all the Nitya Siddhas. Right? And then for the, 10% who aren't Nitya Siddhas, then means we didn't. So then the aspects other than that, so that I think it's called Nisarga, which means by practice, by repetition. So it's basically Nisada Sadhana, Nisada Shuddha Bhakti or something, Sadhana Shuddha Bhakti, something like this. It means that you're practicing, and then by practicing you develop good habits. In other words, we develop devotional habits that may not be based on our attraction to Krishna, but just because we've kept doing it. We chant our rounds every day, not necessarily because, we wake up, we don't even need the alarm, we just wake up, because we just want to get up and chant our rounds and stuff like that, right? Yeah. And so therefore, but we're doing it so it becomes habit. And after this is done for a long time, then it comes to that spontaneous platform. Does that make sense? So this long time means many births. So for us who have developed faith and take that up means that for many births we've been doing things connected with devotional service, but not enough to give us faith. It's just like so many people come around the devotees, like the devotees, come to the temple, you see them now and again, some show up for, quite regularly for some time, and then they disappear, and then after some years you bump into them again and stuff like that. Like I saw one guy, I think it was in Finland. I was going for a walk in the evening, and there's this huge kind of like park, huge park next to the place. And so then I was down there, and there was a bunch of guys, I forget what they were doing, maybe playing with a frisbee? One of those kind of delightful outdoor engagements. And then one of them, long hair, beard, real typical kind of, he sees, and comes over and starts talking, and he looks familiar. Occasionally he shows up at the temple, for classes and stuff like that. And it appears that if you went back, I don't know, some like 20 years ago or something, he was quite active. And then, now he's not so, but he's favorable. He comes around whenever he can and this and that. So someone like that, they do that, means if it comes to a point of critical mass, it turns into Shraddha. But if not, then next life he'll continue from that point. And then when he gets the opportunity, he'll be attracted by that, and he'll continue that for however many lifetimes until, by hearing about Krishna, he develops Shraddha. The faith that, no, I want to engage in developing pure love. So that takes many lifetimes. So that we've already done. So that is your longer part. Once you come to the point of Shraddha, then it can move forward to prema actually quite quickly. The shortest ones we see is in a moment, like that full surrender like that. So Maharaj Katvanga, the gopis, we hear, the wives of the Brahmins, so many are like that they just hear and then they just surrender. So it can be that quick, or then Bhagavatam then talks about a lifetime. And so that's not so bad, because you'll be conscious of that. This lifetime, then you become Krishna conscious. Right? So that's better than how many lifetimes it took to get to this point. So is that what he says? So look at on the positive side of taking forever. Yeah, so in other words, Krishna fulfills the desire in such a way that you'll stop asking for that desire. But then if you switch to another, then he'll get rid of the category. So what it is you just see that it's not so special anymore. Either you'll be frustrated by it, or you'll just see it in the reality. It's just like there are so many things. Now let's say, okay, would you be inspired to put a rocket on a motorcycle, get on there, fire up the rocket, then go up, let's say, a 100-meter ramp that's up about 20 or 30 meters in the air, and then go flying through the air, like that, and then, pull your ripcord, and then your parachute, and would you be interested in that?
Probably not.
No, okay. But there's some people, just by hearing about that, then, you know, it invokes spontaneous natural attraction. They just go, wow, that is so cool, I want to do that.
And the fun part is that the explanation for why you want to do it and why you don't want to do it is the same. It's like the speed and the excitement and the noise and all that.
The one is, you could get killed doing that. You could get killed doing that. Because it's the same, two sides of the same coin, right? Is that, or you just see it like that. You see that as, what's the point? So with time, you start to see the material endeavor like that. There is no point. We've decided it's important, but it's not actually. You know, because anything you decide, this is so important, when you get it, it's not a festival. You know, you've been thinking about it and like that. There's something you've been wanting to buy for years. You've been thinking about it for years. Now you've decided on it, but, you know, it's a little bit of a trip to get. You have to get it from another country or this or that or someone else or when you're traveling. Finally, you go into the shop, you pick it up, you get it. There's that little happiness that you have it, and then it's just back to normal that it's to be used how it was you thought. It's not as great as you think it's going to be. It's not like, you know, the sky opens up and the Gandharvas start singing and playing that and flowers are being showered and all that when you put on, you know, that coat or sweater or pair of shoes or whatever it was. It's just not like that, though. One imagines it would be, but it's not. And when you walk into the room, it's not that everything stops, goes into slow motion, everyone's turning around. And like, no, it doesn't happen like that either. It's just you walk in and no one even notices you. You know, or what are you doing here? You know, yeah, like that. Does that understand? So after a while, it's just you start to see as it's not actually as good as it's made out to be. Does that make sense? So one thing, some things will be like that. Some things the aspect of frustration. Some things, if you're able to nicely engage it in Krishna service and be Krishna conscious during, then there's no need for it to be. To be giving you trouble because you're already engaging it nicely. But then with time from engaging it, then you see the importance of it is only its engagement, not the thing itself. Does this make any sense?
Yeah, because we pray Madanam Najam Nasundarim.
Yes.
But then practically we see for some it's just the side effect of their sadhana.
Right.
But then for many, actually, they put like 90% of their energy to get those. And I'm talking about devotees.
Yeah, yeah. Dhanam, Janam, and Sundar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it should be. Yes. And ideally, if it's all good. Right. The Janam should have Dhanam, and the Janam should be, you know, look good, right? You know, you don't want a bunch of, you know, it's like Jesus, okay, he took on everybody, but, you know, we're not quite, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, the cool people, right? You know. Yes, but the point is if you can see that connected to Krishna, then it gets purified so much quicker. If we don't, and we're going about it and thinking that this will make me happy, and you're not really worried about Krishna in the process, then it will give you more trouble and it will drag things out. But if you understand, I have attachment to these things, so therefore, then only by connecting things to Krishna does it become purified and we advance and become attached to Krishna. So therefore, what does the Shastra say about engaging these things in his service, and what's the method? Does that make sense? So the only real way to the whole idea of yukta vairagya is what do the scriptures say? What do they recommend? Because otherwise, how do I know how to connect it if I don't know what's recommended? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if I know that you're supposed to plug in the machine, and you have a proper plug, you have a proper cord, you have, you know, and everything like that. And so then you know what to look for. And so then you may not find that ideal exact thing, so you have two wires stuck into these funky plug that's falling out of the wall using two matchsticks to kind of hold it in there so it doesn't fall out.
That one.
Yes. Exactly. Does that make sense? Because you know what the standard is. And so you come as close as you can. You know? That's the meaning of the Yukta Vairagya. Right? But you connected it to Krishna. So how to please Krishna? Because we may start with, we're interested in it for ourselves, but the point is, if we want to connect it to Krishna, it has to be interesting to Krishna. So what is Krishna like? But if it's no, it's interesting to me how I like it, and Krishna's got to like it that way, then the problem is he's situated in Vishuddha Sattva. He's the origin of Vishuddha Sattva. Why should he like stupid stuff that we like in the mode of passion and ignorance? So that's why we may say, no, I'm starting on this platform. Yes, but you have to see how to bring it to the platform of pure goodness, whatever it is I am, whatever it is that I'm attached to. And in that way, then you can move it forward. But if we insist that, no, it must stay in the modes of passion and ignorance, because that's the way I am, and that's the way Krishna's got to take it, and I'm calling the shots, then, you know, he has his servant known as Maya, who knows how to deal with those kind of attitudes. Right? And so then she straightens us out. So if we can see that, then you can deal with that 90% no problem by connecting it to Krishna. You want wealth, but how does Krishna recommend wealth is used and gained? What's the attitude? You want followers, then what's the recommended thing? What are the followers for? Are you helping making them Krishna conscious? You know, Sundareem, then do something that people are going to say, a great job. Don't just try to get people to speak nicely about you when you're not doing anything nice. Does that make sense?
That's Sundareem?
That's Sundareem Kavitam. And then if you want to deal with Sundareem, then it's about, then it's got a mild adjustment that you have to make, very mild here, that instead of what you want to do and then find out what Krishna wants to do and then connect that to Krishna, you have to figure out what the Sundareem wants to do and then how to connect it to Krishna in the a way that they're comfortable with, at the speed they're comfortable with, and you have to organize it. Does that make sense? Then, if you do that nicely, then you get the Kavitam. Otherwise,
get something else.
Slightly not as poetic. So it's just a matter of what we saw the devotees doing in the first cantos. You know, where there's more of a focus on, that they're just taking their duties within what's recommended duties and seeing how they connect to Krishna and how the ultimate results for Krishna, though they are attached to working in these fields. Like Kardama Muni was attached to the idea of family life, but he knew that the only actual real purpose in life is God consciousness, so he wanted to do it in such a way that it would be God conscious. And so he did a good job. You don't hear of the details of so many others on what they arranged. See, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he had the sabha, they had so many things like that, which was very special. But was that for Draupadi? No. She had her facilities and everything like that. So you never hear about that. But what did Kardama Muni create for his wife? Right? A flying palace. And that flying palace has its own gardens. And in those gardens, there's deer and this. It's a monster thing. You know, it's a huge, huge thing. And it can fly around at will, you know, at the speed of mind. So if you decide you want to be, you know, you want something, you know, like that, it's just there. But of course, they're not, you know, wanting to go to Saks Fifth Avenue in New York, and so then they're zip over there. You know, because then there'll be a problem, because if it looms over New York, then they've seen too many movies, so they'll think you're an alien, so then the F-16s will come in and blow you out of the sky. So unless you're really fast at shopping, that means you have to go down and get it, because if you take your wife down, she'll go and check the whole store. By that time, they'll have blown the place up. So it won't work out so good. But if you want to go to Nandankana or this or that, then it's cool. You know, you're this. So there's a limit. No? Okay.
Well,
an earlier stage in the life of the devotee, wherein
is there a stage?
Stage, yeah.
Is there a stage? No, you have to catch, because see, the basic point is why I repeat is because I'm not sure I heard what you said, and so I'm repeating it to see if what you said is what I said is what you said. Does that make sense? So the devotee, is there a stage at which
he gives up his material desires, attachments completely.
He gives up his material desires and attachments completely.
And
okay. And has all material facility. Okay. Yes.
And he's continuing with his services to the Lord also.
But continues the service of the Lord, meaning connected with all those material facilities.
No. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Basically, he's...
But don't we have example, Priyavrata, isn't he doing that? Yudhishthira Maharaj.
No.
All these great personalities, are they not performing all the normal duties anybody else would love to have, but they're doing them simply to please Krishna?
Okay, I'll frame it like this then. Like, if one becomes detached from the material and is on the spiritual path...
So you're becoming detached from the material and on the spiritual path.
Rendering services to the Lord, but not
and
yet...
And rendering service to the Lord.
And not yet attached to the Lord, you know, to that extent. So that transition period, you know, which is there between...
Between liberation neutral, and prema.
Neutral, you know, like...
That's saying between liberation and prema.
Liberation and prema, yes.
Okay. Like Bharat Maharaj. But hopefully without a deer.
Yes, correct.
Yes, okay. Okay. And then?
Yeah, so...
Is that possible?
Yes.
But that's why we have the story about Bharat Maharaj, that even you're on that platform, you still have to be careful. Because prema is where then everything's done. That's why we say liberation is overrated. Because liberation still not it may be a better situation than being conditioned, but until you develop prema, that's why the focus is on prema. What's the difference? As Bharat Maharaj, it's on the Lord, but he got distracted. So then, as a deer, he was very careful about that. He was only hanging out with the he wouldn't stay with the deer. He would only stay at the ashrams of the sages, right? And then his next life as Jara Bharat, then he did not want to get involved. You know, he's born into a family of, what was it, Brahmins. He didn't want to get caught up in the whole scene that's going on there. Therefore, he just played deaf and dumb. And so he could just be absorbed in the Lord. All right? So that's what's showing, is that even you come to the platform of liberation, unless you're on, solidly on the path of pure devotional service to for prema, you can get distracted. So one has to be careful. Right? So the whole point is, but that's at any stage of sadhana. Because the only safe place is prema. Because at prema you can say, now they are a devotee. They've inherited the position of being a devotee.
Well, like so many examples we find in Jaiva Dharma where, you know, even Mayavadi sannyasis, they don't turn into devotees. Vaishnavas.
They do or don't.
And they do turn into Vaishnavas, and then there's a rapid progress they achieve.
Right, but what? But how did that happen?
Association, pure devotees.
Association. So that's the whole point. So he must have been doing, but there's something left over, some attachment to, you know, liberation. Mm-hmm. And so then he's in that position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an attachment to his grammar, his logic, his, you know, his scholarship, all these different things. So it wasn't enough to come to the point of Shraddha, but there was a lot. So then when he came in contact with the devotees, did he see Lord Chaitanya? No, he was later. So he saw a devotee who was absorbed. And then from that association, then it sparked something. Then when he came to Navadvip, then by the association of the Paramahamsa Babaji, then he came to that platform. So yes, the point is everybody. It means you also had, Vijay Kumar, they're from Smarta family. Smarta Brahman, high grade Smarta Brahman. And the other one, who is the other one? Another, the V, Vishnu, not Vishnu.
Vaishnavatas Babaji.
No, no, that's Vaishnava. He was the Mayavadi Sannyasi. No, we're talking about the other Smarta. He was Vrajana. Yes. So then they were Smartas, you know, Brahman Pakur Wallas, like that, because it's a whole Brahmin seed up there. And then you had also from Shantipur, there was one, they were Vaishas, right? Businessmen. You know, and they had organized everything so nicely about their kids and this and that and trying to do that, and the kids just took everything and that. So then they got frustrated and they took up devotional service. And then they came to, you know, they advanced nicely. Does that make sense? So you do have this aspect where anybody can take up the process. So it doesn't matter the background. You know, every background has an advantage and a disadvantage, right? As far as sadhana goes, if you're from a practicing Brahmin family, sadhana is super easy, you know, like that. But pride now will be a problem, you know, and not seeing living entities equally, and that will be their problem. You know, well, if you don't come from those families, then it might be easier to see people more equally, but then sadhana is a problem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so like that. It's each has its strength and weakness. So it's not a problem. Okay? Lord Krishna continued, certainly expert personalities who can see their own true interest render unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service directly unto me, for I am most dear to the soul. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Bhava, Lord Krishna here confirms that the conditioned soul can reach the highest perfectional stage by surrendering to him. There is a footnote? Didn't we read the footnote?
Oh, sorry.
You did the footnote. I only reread it so that we would know, because it was, I say, eons before.
Yeah.
Before
we,
yes. So that means that the conditioned soul, that means any conditioned soul, anyone by surrendering to Krishna, then can come to that highest perfectional state. So the degree you surrender, to that degree it moves forward. But the point is, as you surrender, Krishna reciprocates. Because Krishna gives prema. Right? It's not that you can find it down at your, you know, 7-Eleven or Tesco's or get it online or something.
You can get pretty much anything.
Yes, but somehow or another...
There are limits.
Yeah, no, somehow or another... You can try looking it up, see if you can.
See what happens.
Yeah. One must give up all other responsibilities, right? So now... From this, it has the double aspect of give up all responsibilities means not be involved in anything material, right? But what does that mean? So we can take, so it has two ways. We would generally take it means you don't do anything, you have no responsibilities. That's one way of looking at it. The other is you have no responsibility other than pleasing Krishna. So if you're pleasing Krishna, it doesn't actually change the position you're in. Here? The birds? That's what we're talking about. That's the Chechamechi. See, this is that time. The sun just goes and then they start that. So then the people on the road then.
Yeah. So we see here in these pastimes that the wives of the Brahmanas, they were following all their responsibilities.
Yes.
And then they achieved that highest stage of Purva Rag just by hearing.
Yes.
And it wasn't hearing from their husbands. So, from whom did they hear the whole...
Must have been somebody who was... Okay, because they heard from some... Because it appears they've heard from before.
We spoke about it.
What?
We mentioned, I don't remember. Their example was that they heard from marketplaces and places they've been.
Okay.
Somewhere in Braj.
Okay, but because in Braj everybody's talking.
Yeah,
so their husbands don't talk about it, but all the other Brajvasis are. So then moving around in Braj, then they're hearing.
Yes.
Okay. So Therefore, when we hear from the appropriate sources, then process starts. So that's the whole thing, is that we see also, because one of the aspects of Purva Rag is the attachment, that complete attachment that develops for Krishna, that enthusiasm to meet him before you've met him.
Yes.
That's the meaning.
Yeah.
So that means that it's all by hearing.
Yeah, they never saw him before.
No, they didn't see, but also in the stories when it tells about Radharani coming like Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it's just hearing. In fact, Radharani, because she heard from different people about different aspects, she thought she was attached to three boys. She didn't understand she was attached to Krishna as Govinda, attached to him as Gopinath, and as Madan Mohan. So it's only later that she figured out it's one person. Like that. So that's why for us, hearing is the most important, because if you hear, then chanting will come. But you see the Brajabasis, because they always hear about it, then they're chanting about him. And so in their discussions, then others hear. And then from that, then they're remembering Krishna. And that, so they hear, and then amongst themselves they chant and remember. And this way then, you know, there's more hearing and chanting. Because different ones will hear different things in the marketplace. So that's the difference. Is here you go to the market, it's just prajalpa. There you go to the market, then it's all about Krishna Katha. So, you know, slightly better market. Is that? So then we can take advantage of the same principle. To try to always hear, you know, from authority. It means we're hearing here from the acharyas. And we see is that what Prabhupada writes, what Vishwanath writes, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, it's all on that same level. It just, you know, that's the whole point. Just Prabhupada, how he puts it, it's just so nice and smooth to hear. And then the other ones, because they're giving the technical details, then it has its aspects. Or especially with Jiva Goswami or Sanatana Dhan, they'll bring in the grammatical aspects like that. Vishwanath does, but they generally don't use that part. Like that. Is that... So one must give up all other responsibilities means the responsibility that I'm taking care of my family. No, I'm serving Krishna by doing my duties to take care of this family. So you've given up the responsibility to take care of the family, and you've accepted the responsibility to please Krishna through the process of taking care of the family. Right? And when that taking care of the family is no longer an important aspect, then that's dropped. You don't keep going with it. That's the idea of vanaprastha. Is that vanaprastha means the kids have grown up, so now they take care of the family. And then the couple, they just take care of being absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So this giving up all other responsibilities can happen from all the way down. Like we see the gopis, they already have that pure love before they're married. Like that. And so these cowherd boys, they have that love before they're married. So it's all going on. It's not restricted by whether you're in the grihastha ashram or in the renounced ashram. So it just means that giving up responsibilities is surrender. It's an internal consciousness. So now if external also then has that, that kind of form, then fine. But if not, you can tell it's renunciation or sannyas, because it's just for Krishna. This complete surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most auspicious path for the conditioned soul, because the Supreme Lord is the supreme objective of love. Right, everything is to be directed towards him. Right? That's how he's the Vishai, is everything is directed towards him. Right? Everyone is loving his self according to the advancement of his knowledge. Ultimately, when a person comes to understand that his self is the spirit soul, and that the spirit soul is nothing but a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, he recognizes the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of love, and then surrenders unto him. Right, if he just sees that he's a soul, but not connected servant to the Lord, then the problem is they don't go past that point. And in fact, they haven't actually understood themselves, because then where does this soul come from? Right? And if you're only interested in spirit, then the problem is do you appreciate spirit as having that aspect of variety? So is it Saguna Brahman? Or is it Nirguna? If it's Nirguna, then you don't exist. So why are you worried about it? And if it's Saguna Brahman, then you exist as one of the varieties within Brahman. Right? But still, even though, still that won't satisfy the soul completely. That's why then Sukadeva Goswami wasn't interested to come out of the womb as someone who's absorbed in Brahman. But as soon as he heard about Krishna, who's the supreme Brahman, then he immediately came out and left home to go, you know, perform devotional activities. This surrender is considered auspicious for the conditioned soul. Our life, property, home, wife, children, house, country, society, and all paraphernalia, which are very dear to us, are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the central object of love because he gives us all bliss, expanding himself in so many ways according to our different situations, namely bodily, mental, or spiritual. So we see is that in here for us, these will be aspects of sadhana, engaging our life, our property, home, wife, children, like all these are aspects of our sadhana. These are where our attachments are. And then we start to see how can we connect those to Krishna. Right? But for the Lord's associates or those on the platform of prema, these are just different varieties of aspects of how they engage in the Lord's service. Right? These are just different things that they use. Their life, their property, everything is just connected to Krishna. So it just becomes aspects of their engagement in Krishna's service. So we can also follow that same process, though for us it will be a matter of practice. For them it's spontaneous. Since they love Krishna, they want to use everything for Krishna. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, though the wise are full of the highest prema, fulfilling their desires now would not nourish the rasa. And without nourishment of the rasa, the pastimes would not be active. Attractive. Thus, though Krishna was moved and controlled by their prema, when he began to respond to their love which arose when they saw him, there was a sudden appearance of his Aishwarya, showing himself as God, by the agency of the Lila Shakti, which caused them to return to their homes. Though this Aishwarya does not usually appear in the presence of those immersed in prema, it made its appearance for increasing their prema through separation and increasing longing in separation for the perfection of the pastimes. Bringing the Lord's Rati under control, it produced reasoning. Right, because he has attraction to the devotee. But Yoga Maya, or the Leela Shakti, then she arranged that this Aishwarya element would come out. Therefore, then he's going to think according to reasoning. You know, like you see, Uddhava and others, their service to Krishna is discussing, you know, technical points of Shastra, how to do things nicely, you know, logical approaches to things and all that. That's all part of it. So then it goes into that, and then from that, then they can function, yes.
Can we say that those wives of the Brahmins, their pastimes are only in Prakat Lila?
I wouldn't be able to see. We see it here in Prakat. I haven't heard that it would be there in Aprakat, because it's a matter of coming to the perfectional platform. Once you've come to that, then it's a different thing. So here, through meditation, they will be absorbed in the Lord. Because here it's known. With the gopis, it's not known. Nobody knows that the gopis, you know, are attracted to Krishna and have gone to Krishna. But here you do know, so things can't go on in the same way.
Because it's kind of like one-time pastime?
No, but they'll be absorbed. No, but this aspect was just giving his mercy. Because what would that do is, like it said here, it would increasing through separation and increasing longing in separation for the perfection of the pastime. So that will bring them to the particular position. So, but the point is it's just like, do we go into too much detail on the Cowherd Boys? Not so much. Mother Jashoda, not so much. You hear of pastimes, but we go into too much detail about her, particularly the aspect of her prema. Some aspects, yes, they're generic, but not too much. So the same with all the others. So the details you'll find on the gopis. So it's not that there's not more detail there, it's just not important for us at this point. We just understand how they're fully surrendered to Krishna and how then everything is that makes the most auspicious position for the living entity. Is that? Bringing the Lord's Rati under control, it produced reasoning. Thus the Lord speaks in two verses, according to the mood of Aishwarya. Not only you have become attached to me, but other persons as well have developed affection for me. Who are they? Those who are clever. Those who are clever look after their own welfare. They had devotion which was without personal motives, without any contaminating obstructions, just as the one has affection for one's own body and husband and other things. Right, so they're clever. So what do all the other clever devotees in Vrindavan who worship Krishna in Madhurya Rasa, what do? Do they live at home? Do they do their duties? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. They just don't get too... they just don't get too close with the husband, that's all. Like that, you know. Right, because they're not interested in... because the gopis, they're married to somebody, but much of the time there's more than one wife. So therefore, they don't have any kids. The other ones have the children. And so they help in the house, take care of the children, do this and that. But they don't have any children. Is that what it says? Yeah. So what the position of the wives of the Brahmins are, that so far hasn't said. Lord Krishna continued, it is only by contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, wealth, and so on are dear. Right? Because if you're dead, what's dear? Right? Nothing. It's only because you're alive, therefore it's dear. So what comes in contact with us who are alive, that's what's dear. Therefore, what object can possibly be more dear than one's own self? You should thus return to the sacrificial arena because your husbands, the learned brahmanas, are householders and need your assistance to finish their respective sacrifices. Right? Because they can't do their sacrifices without the wife. Karmakanda stuff requires the wife. Right? Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates. Krishna said, your husbands will complete the first part of their sacrifice. This indicates that they then had to perform sacrifices for others. Go, since they are householders. Without you, they cannot be householders and thus cannot perform sacrifice. Therefore, go to the arena, not your houses. This is the approved version. The ladies then respond, they should be ignored because they disrespected you. Krishna replies, they are Brahmins and should be respected. In the story of King Nriga, so in other words, you can say is the husband's not very Krishna conscious, he should be neglected or not Krishna conscious at all. But the point is no, the duties of the wife then are there. That's there. Krishna consciousness is another thing. Right? So the duties of the conditioned nature is there within the family life. Being a devotee, that's the interest of the soul. Right, so for that the soul can always go on and be absorbed in Krishna, you take care of the other things so that there's no distraction. But you take care of it in a way that it's nicely done, everyone's happy, but it doesn't distract. So that's why we're giving all these examples of how one can do that. In the story of King Nriga, it is said, Vipram krita gasam api naiva druhyata mamakaha gantam bahu sapantam va namaskuruta nityasha. My dear followers, never treat a learned Brahmin harshly, even if he has sinned, even if he attacks you physically or repeatedly curses you. Always continue to offer him obeisances. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:64-41. The wise of the Brahmins replied, "O Almighty One, please do not speak such cruel words. Rather, you should fulfill your promise that you always reciprocate with your devotees in kind. Now that we have attained your lotus feet, we simply wish to remain here in the forest, so we may carry upon our heads the garlands of tulsi leaf you may neglectfully kick away with your lotus feet. We are ready to give up all material relationships." Right? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "The wives of the Brahmins replied, 'Dear Lord, this sort of instruction does not befit you. Your eternal promise is that you will always protect your devotees, and now you must fulfill this promise. Anyone who comes and surrenders unto you never goes back to the conditioned life of material existence. We expect that you will now fulfill your promise. We have surrendered unto your lotus feet, which are covered by tulsi leaves, so we have no desire to give up the shelter of your lotus feet and return to the company of your so-called relatives, friends, and society. And what shall we do if we return home? Our husbands, brothers, fathers, sons, mothers, and friends will no longer accept us at home because we have already left them all. Therefore, we have no shelter to return to. Please, therefore, do not ask us to return home, but arrange for our stay under your lotus feet so that we can eternally live under your protection.'" Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, "Ma at the beginning indicates negation with intense pain. Do not speak cruel words such as, 'Go to the arena to complete your husband's sacrifices.'" End quote. O Lord, spread inside and outside, Vibho. You know our inside and outside completely. Others may say like this, but you, Bhavan, having a soft heart with merciful. Others may say like this, but you, having a soft heart. Oh, probably meaning a soft and merciful heart, or having a soft heart and being merciful, should not say this because it is cruel. Or a soft heart with mercy. Okay. Should not say this because it is cruel. Or you are the moon in the ocean of nectar. You should not say anything which is hard without rasa. Not only are your words cruel, but also false. Make your words true. Previously they used Bhavan. Now they used Tvam with Kurushva in order to express respect and devotion out of prema. Though by accepting them the truth of the Vedas would be violated, since he suppresses the rules, the request would be fulfilled. Since devotees, the wives, are beyond rules and Krishna is directly the Lord, Shruti says, Nasa punar avartate. He does not return again. Devarshi bhutapta nrinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam nri ni charajam sarvatmana yas sharanam sharam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kritam. O king, one who has given up all varnashram duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not a debtor or a servant of the devatas, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, or the pitris. Right? He doesn't have these five. So he's given up all varnashram duties. He's only performing devotional service. So when all your activities are just to please Krishna, then the performance of varnashram to please these five positions no longer remain, because Krishna is the source of all of them. Does that make sense? So, if it's still of value to perform them, then they're still on the transcendental platform. And if there's no need to perform them anymore, then at that point they can be given up. Krishna replies, "If I bring you to Gokula, the gopis will reject me and consider you like competitors." The ladies respond, "The leaves are dear to you. They are always on your feet and are competitors with Lakshmi. We aspire to carry on our heads those leaves constantly when with devotion." Right? Because it means the leaves are always on Krishna's feet, but the feet belong to Lakshmi. So in that way, they're competitors, but they're still always at the feet. So even Krishna says, but if I take you back to Gokul, then you'll be competitors with the gopis. But they're saying, but the leaves of the Tulsi are competitors to Lakshmi, so what's the problem? We'll always be situated at your lotus feet.
So, this Brahma's wife's their relationship with Krishna is conjugal?
Yes. That's a problem?
No, I just a little bit confused.
You weren't here this morning when we discussed it?
Morning I didn't come.
Oh, okay, because that came up this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, we don't see much detail. That's why he said he can't take him back to the gopis there. He can't marry them because he doesn't get married in Braj. Right? If he's in Dwarka, then, you know, all those princesses, then they said, we have no other shelter than you. And so he married all 16,100 of them. Like that, but this is Braj, so he doesn't marry anybody here. So,
not also servants because he's Vaishnava.
Yeah, and then you can't have Brahmins as servants; they're Vaishnavas. You know, so like that. So,
yeah.
And there's no Bhajan Ashram, so they can't join that either. So, right? No, yes. The gopis cannot reject you by our rendering this one service, right? Because they just will carry the tulsi leaves on their head that have been on Krishna's head. Nor will they consider us competitors. Or by serving you, we will serve them. We will completely surpass husbands and sons, bandhun. We cannot accept them again. The wives of the Brahmins continued, our husbands, fathers, sons, brothers, and other relatives and friends will no longer take us back. And how could anyone else be willing to give us shelter? Therefore, since we have thrown ourselves at your lotus feet and have no other destination, please, O chastiser of enemies, grant our desire. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. From our youth, we have heard about the sweetness of your form and qualities. From your mouth, we have heard about the sweetness of your form and qualities from the women garland makers and betel nut sellers of Vrindavan. Having fallen in love with you, neglecting our household duties, our husbands, being doubtful, have disassociated themselves from us. With this in mind, they speak this verse. After this, they will not accept us in the house. So as it is, they're letting them stay in the house, you know, and they assist in this way or that way, but they don't pay too much attention. Now, after this incident, then they'll completely neglect them. Sutta refers to their married sons. Anye refers to neighbors. Weeping, they touched their heads to his feet and said with choked voices, as we have no other shelter, you should do something. O killer of enemies, Arindama, please vanquish the evil enemies which prevent us from attaining you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, rest assured that your husbands will not be inimical towards you, nor will your fathers, brothers, sons, or other relatives, or the general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation. Indeed, even the demigods will express their approval. Because they were worried that they'll have no place, no shelter. But Krishna's pointing out, no, everything will work out just fine. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Krishna said, because you're in love with me, you should do what will please me. You should not do something which is not desired by me. Do not be stubborn, but return to your homes. Right? So if they're surrendered to Krishna, it's about pleasing Krishna, then they should do what pleases Krishna, and Krishna wants them to return home. And so because he always gives, as they said, shelter to the devotees and always takes care, then he'll arrange. He said, I will personally advise them. Right? Then that their situation at home will be fine. Does that make sense? Because he's saying, in the pastimes as they are, they can't take part in the way they would like. Like that. But they would answer, O best of the ignorant, having disobeyed our husbands and treating them like grass, leaving the house, if we return, they will prevent us from entering. Angry, they will threaten to kill us. Krishna answers with this verse, your husbands will not find fault with you. There is no use in unfounded fears. What does oh. Something gets up the nose and then... No, generally the smoke doesn't bother.
According to Chinese, say that. Somebody is missing you.
Someone is missing us. Oh, okay. Someone is missing us. Okay. I know when you're eating and you choke on what you eat, that means somebody's...
Remembers.
Huh?
Somebody remembers you.
Yeah, somebody remembers like that. Okay, so that's remembers you. And then if you're missing you, then you sneeze. Okay. 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 Krishna answers with this verse, your husbands will not find fault with you. There is no use in unfounded fears. What to speak of others such as mothers and fathers? Why? They will not find fault even if you were to intimately associate with me, which you have not done now, because they know that I am the Lord. Your husbands, seeing the Devat Asat.
Devatas.
Devatas at the sacrifice. Your husband, seeing the devatas at the sacrifice, will ask them, and they will also approve. The wise men and devatas have also approved of me, the Supreme Lord, in this matter. Sri Krishna continued, for you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world, nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. Srila Jiva Goswami's comments. The ladies wonder, so what will happen with our request to you? In this verse, Krishna resolves the issue. In this birth, your close association with me as servants will not bring happiness, or will not be at all attractive to human beings because of this hostility in people. By engaging your minds in me, after leaving your bodies, you will attain me. In this regard, one should consider the following. There are two types of devotees of Krishna, on the border of the pastimes and within the pastimes, taking support of the Lord's supreme powers. Though the Lord is invisible, the border devotees worship one of the eight deity forms, knowing or not knowing the Lord directly. Such persons as Brahmanas please the Lord by their bhakti in the form of serving his feet or by taking his charinamrita, his foot water. The devotees within the pastimes are of two types. The first type, devatas and others, taking shelter of his great powers, interact with the Lord as the supreme powerful. Aware of the Lord's powers, take shelter of his human pastimes. These are humans such as his mother and father and the brahmanas in his human pastimes. Just as those in his human pastimes act in relation to the particular rules, Krishna also acts in the same way reciprocally. Right? So they're following the rules that govern their position, so he also reciprocates in this. So they have their position in society, so it won't work out. Thus he was indifferent to immediately satisfying the desires of the wives of the Brahmins who wanted to serve him, though they were attracted to his human pastimes. And so they didn't fit in at this particular point. But by being absorbed in his pastimes, then in this way they are in the pastimes, because they will hear more and more about his pastimes when they go to the market, the garland, you know, because they collect things for their household duties as Brahmins, so then all those people, then they will be talking about these things. Yes.
So can we say that in the same manner as with the gopis, Krishna couldn't reciprocate with the wives of the Brahmanas at that particular moment?
I mean, that when you said the gopis, which instance of the gopis?
He says, I can reciprocate because your love is such a high thing, so, you know, what can I do?
Oh, I see, that aspect.
But then here, apparently, they came after a very high level of consciousness. But then Krishna gives them an argument on a lower level.
But he also mentions that that'll bring him up to that higher level.
But they're already at that level.
But it seems that there's more that they can do. Sorry? It's coming up. Okay, it is coming up. Stay tuned. Okay. Sri Krishna concluded, "It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes." Footnote 19. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 33 to Bhagavad Arkramichimala, chapter 19, entitled "The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love." The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Right, so, by being always absorbed in Krishna, you know, by chanting his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, worshipping the deity like this, that's then how one comes to this platform of pure love. Like that. It's not the proximity that generates it. Right? It's by the association with those devotees that are on that platform that we come to that. That's the actual point. Because otherwise, Krishna reciprocates however you deal. So if you're not on the platform of prema, he'll reciprocate on a level with you that is appropriate. So if you want to develop prema, then you have to be associating with those who have prema. Then being involved in their service, then Krishna will see us in that light. Right? So it's not the direct service to Krishna that will develop the prema. That's what he's meaning, but not by physical proximity. Right? It's by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating, chanting my names and glories. That's how. And who would we hear that from? From the other great devotees.
Is that sahaja? Physical proximity, direct?
That will do. Yeah, I mean, it's sahaja is just how we kind of would like it to work out. So it's not a bad thing, physical proximity with Krishna.
Yeah.
But it's just that that's not the thing that generates it. Because the point is Krishna is going to reciprocate with you as you are associating with his devotees. So if you're not the sahajiyas, they're not actually associating with pure devotees. So therefore, Krishna is not actually going to reciprocate with them. So they're going to think they are, but they're not worried about the symptoms of love that they manifest are actually just a show to show that they're more devotional than any of the other sahajiyas. And so they move up in, you know, status. Yes, like that. So, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Hearing Krishna's words, they understood his wish and they left. However, the gopis of the rasa dance, though understanding his word and desire, remained with Krishna. From this it is understood that in prema there is certainly never any loss." Srila Sukadev Goswami said, "Thus instructed, the wives of the brahmanas returned to the place of sacrifice. The brahmanas did not find any fault with their wives, and together with them they finished the sacrifice. One of the ladies had been forcibly kept back by her husband. When she heard the others describe the Supreme Lord Krishna, she embraced him within her heart and gave up her material body, the basis of bondage to material activity." Footnote 20. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 35 to Bhagavad Arkramichimala, chapter 6, entitled "Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord," Bhagavat Rasa Tattva, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. So here, that full absorption in Krishna, that's how one tastes the relationship with Krishna. Right? Being absorbed in activities given to us by the acharyas, then that absorption, that will then develop that taste for serving Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "At the sacrificial arena, there was one Brahmana lady situated at the back, who was forcibly held by her husband. She gave up her body produced by material karma, not her body filled with praying. She embraced Krishna with a body filled with prema, attained by strong desire and separation. Unseen by others, she assumed her spiritual body and quickly left that place to meet Krishna, having given up husband and other objects of attachment. Is it surprising that someone also gives up the material body to meet Krishna? In order to show the strength of prema, the Lord's mercy made her give up the material body at the time of meeting Krishna and receive a spiritual body of prema. Like a touchstone, this action transformed the other wives' material bodies into spiritual bodies as well. Thus, from that day onward, they did not associate intimately with their husbands. What is not possible for Krishna's Kripa Shakti? One cannot say whether the one Brahmin lady was superior in her bhakti to the others or not, since there is no indication given in scripture. But in any case, all became perfect by the mercy of Krishna. That is clear. There is saying, Yajna Patni Vairochani Sukadyayaha. The wives of the Brahmins, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and others, all Kripa Siddha. So they, just by receiving the Lord's mercy, then they come to that platform. So then it would appear here, in this position, that they were not in a position of Sarup Siddhi. They, you know, it means either, it means unless the acharyas go on, that they had, either they had material bodies, and then they came to this platform. Then they had their spiritual bodies, and then on that platform, but they would look the same, so no one would notice the difference. Or it means they had their sarup, and any material contamination that was there from previously being in the material world, that was burnt up, so there was nothing left of the material consideration, and that way then they gave up the material bodies. We see this also mentions that the gopis that were held back, then they, that the same the same thing happened. And the acharyas point out that nobody died, because that how would that work out? You have the rasa dance and people are dying. It's that it's not, you know, not, it's not going to be pleasing to Krishna. So it just meant that part in their consciousness that was still had a fragrance of the material contamination for having been conditioned souls before, that was burnt up. So then that material consideration was gone. So whatever it is, then that's the point is for us, is by absorption in Krishna, that will remove all material contamination.
It seems like the Brahmanas themselves, they were moving in the other direction.
Means up to this point, yeah. Then yeah, yes, they're yeah. pious, so, but you know, they may be close to Krishna, but their back is to Krishna. Like that.
Right. Seems that the Brahman's wife, their love to Krishna is much more than the gopis, because they sacrifice more.
They sacrifice, what's this more?
Means like they even, you know, give up their family, husband, children, everything.
Gopis don't do that.
Gopis still stay with their husband usually. Yeah.
And they're right in there, they love it.
No.
So then, by having husbands, as we discussed before, then being married women, they can move around more freely in the village. So they can go to Mother Jashoda's house, they can do all these different things. If they're unmarried, then they can't do these things. They have to stay at home. So for them, it's an advantage, because now they can move around. Go to Krishna's house, help Mother Jashoda cook, do these kind of things. Yeah?
Yeah. Seems this Brahma's wife, yeah, really.
Are you listening? See. I say. You've heard the story of Gopal Bhatt and the terracotta dolls?
No.
Yeah? So. Hmm? Yes. So, Krishnadeva Rai, the king of Krishnagar, his prime minister was Gopal Bhatt. So, one day someone brought terracotta dolls, right? Because in Bengal they love to make terracotta stuff. Sometimes see the horses and that. Sometimes see the men stand, you know, the terracotta men standing there. Like the bottom is just, you know, like a round thing. It's just when it gets up kind of to their waist and that, then it turns into people. Before otherwise, it's, you know, not so much. So they brought three of those and presented to the king. So they were really nicely done. And then the king, because he liked to goof with Gopal Bhatt, because He originally started out as the court jester, but because he's so smart, he ended up as the prime minister. But that doesn't mean he still doesn't joke with him. So then he asked, Gopal Bhan, can you tell us which of these three is the most intelligent of the terracotta dolls? Right? So then naturally, one is... This is the second story in 2 days.
Yeah.
With this guy. Okay. So, then... And so then he thought, you know, he's going to say, no, and he's going to say, but what kind of pun? You know, yeah, whatever. He's just using it as a basis to explain. You know, I mean, goof with it. And so Gopal Bhan says, yes, I can tell you. So the king gets, you know, and everybody, all the guys, how can you tell? They're terracotta dolls. No one says anything. So he goes out, and, you know, the coconut brooms, the hard brooms, so they're made up of the sticks that are the center of the coconut fronds, the coconut trees. They have the big main stem, yeah. And then off the side there's the little ones that are like the leaves. So the center of that, what holds that together, is that stick. So after the leaves dry, then they take that, cut that off, and put it together and make a broom. So he got one of those, and he came back, and he stuck it in the first doll, you know, in the ear, and it came out the other ear. Right. The second doll he went to, and he put it in the ear, and the stick came out the mouth, because they're flexible, right? And the third one he went to and stuck it in, and it just got stuck. So then he turned to the king and announced that this third doll is the most intelligent. And now the king and all the courtiers are going, what are you talking about? You know, this most intelligent. You know, he has to explain it now. Because they were starting to joke, but he's doing it seriously. So then... Now he has to explain it. He says, the first doll, anything he hears goes in one ear, out the other. He, you know, nothing remains in his head. The second one, whatever goes in his ear comes out his mouth. So just whatever he hears, he blabbers. You know, he's just a gossip. But the third one, it goes in and it sticks in his head and he contemplates it. Does that make sense? So, the third doll is intelligent. Don't just... hear something, just goes in one ear, out the other, and then keep talking about, no, but what about, you know, but we just addressed that. Because you're saying they left everything, yes, but the gopis also left everything. But since it's parakeet of pastimes, it means they've left. Is this parakeet of pastimes now? He, Krishna, either has to marry them or something. So, how does it work? So it's not. So Braj is that. So he can't. So that's the position. They have to be married. Otherwise, how is it parakeet? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, be very careful in using your logic that you never, ever, ever come up with that anybody is better devotees than the gopis. Because everybody says they're the topmost. Lord Chaitanya says that, all the Goswamis say that, all our Acharyas say that, Bhishma Dev says that, everybody says that. Sukadev Goswami says it. So always be careful about using one's intellectual abilities to come up with conclusions that aren't supported by Shastra. Does that make sense? One can ask how, but don't come up with a thesis that, according to the thing, it would appear that they are, you know, because, in other words, if you're in academic circles, that would have been a fabulous point, and that would have, you know, might have generated hours of lively discussion.
Do a thesis on it.
Yeah, you could probably do a thesis on it. But the point is that, but when it comes to conclusion or siddhanta, then it wouldn't be a direction we take, since the Siddhanta's already been established about the gopi's position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. Other things you may come up with, those is this one or that one, and so, but that's not important. Sanatana Goswami shows that Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You know, depending on the position that, so they're all perfect, but then, you know, there's greater, deeper and deeper degrees, but it comes to the conclusion the gopis are the topmost. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the confusion is based on our material design.
Yes, it's just based on us that we think, but by logic it should be this way. But the point is our logic is faulty. We have imperfect senses.
Yeah.
And so how we consider things, how we deal with things, you know, the illusion, these things, then we will come up with things that aren't appropriate, right? So there's certain things we can have a doubt, especially when it comes to our sadhana, how I apply it in my life. Like, how do I apply the surrender of the wives of the Brahmins in my life, since, you know, I'm not a wife of a Brahmin? You know? You know, and not only that, my wife would probably get upset if I, you know, tried to, you know, exact that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so therefore, it's that, that's not the whole point. The point is that their mood of surrender, always absorbed in Krishna, this and that, that's what we take. Like that. And Krishna takes care, and it all fits in nicely into his pastimes. Something?
Yeah.
Ah, like a touchstone?
Sukadeva
Goswami continued, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fed the cowherd boys with that food of four varieties. Then the all-powerful Lord himself partook of the preparations. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, even though he was the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Api, engaged in herding cows, he fed the boys and then ate. Because otherwise they say, well, he's the Supreme Lord. No, but that's his pastime. He's arranging, so he's taking care. Tena Anena suggests that the food was too little for all the boys, but they were all satisfied because Krishna was full of all abundance. The affix ka on Gopikan indicates giving mercy to the boys. Balaram was among them. It was possible to satisfy him like the other boys because Krishna was the master, whose order no one could refuse. After serving the boys, he personally ate. The word swayam indicates Sukadev's astonishment at the mercy he showed to the wives of the Brahmins because he was capable of unlimited mercy. So that position you were talking about? You buy one of those just so you can make that noise.
Yeah.
But you think that they have a better horn, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this horn. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, yeah.
I'm not sure why it doesn't come up in the studio, but I'll check it out. I remember reading the wives of the Brahmin, they had very slight trace of attachment to being Brahmin ladies.
Ah, okay.
Not really proud to be good.
Just a little attachment to that kind of situation. Okay. And so that had to be given up. First. But does it say then what happened in the future, or it just said that that's why it didn't happen at this time?
Okay.
So?
So?
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
But there was one wife, the Brahmana, immediately left the body and she went to Krishna. She went as spiritual.
She saw, but then she went back as well.
Yeah.
But it says they all, like a touchstone, this action transformed the other wives' material bodies into spiritual bodies as well. So they all came to that platform, but they still have to develop that, come to that level that then is appropriate. Yeah, no, you should check what that is and just see that that's whatever. So on that note, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.